Reader's Digest presents Hollywood 360 with your host, Carl Amari.
I can see you right now in the kitchen, bending over a hot stove, but I can't see the stove.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
Then you won't be angry.
I will not be angry.
Abby, someone.
Abby, someone. Abby who?
Abby Normal.
What do you do, Carl? Carl is a inventor slash entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm still looking for that home run, you know? I mean, when I saw the iPod first time, I was like, yeah, I could have kicked myself.
That was so hard on him.
What's your name?
Carl, my name.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Hello, everyone. I'm Carl Amari, and this is Hollywood 360, the radio show that presents all things entertainment, including trivia contests, classic radio shows, movie reviews, celebrity interviews, and showbiz news. This hour on Hollywood 360, I'll present a classic holiday episode of Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae, but it's time now to play Beat the Host. In order to beat the host, either one or both of our two Hollywood 360 listener contestants must correctly answer more multiple-choice trivia questions about Samuel L. Jackson than Carla. Now, Carla is pinch-hitting for Lisa Wolf this week, and I thought it would be fun, Carla, if you played the game. You like that idea?
I'm excited. Let's
all right.
See.
So Carla's going to play along with our two contestants. Why don't we say hello to our two contestants? Go ahead.
Is it Chuck?
We have Chuck.
And Arlene.
Oh. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
How are you?
All right, good.
Hi, Chuck.
And Arlene. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
Very good. Say hello to Carla, everybody.
Hi, Carl.
Carla.
It's Carla.
It's Carl. It's the Carl and Carla show.
She's really competitive. Now she's trying to trick me and get me all upset.
All right, here we go.
No, not yet.
We're going to do this. We're going to start with Arlene. And then we're going to go to Chuck, and then we're going to go to Carla, okay?
Let's see whose Wikipedia works best.
Oh, boy. No Wikipedia. All right, here we go, Arlene. I'm going to ask you the first question. You ready?
Okay.
What does the L stand for in Samuel L. Jackson? Is it Larry, A. Larry, B. Leopold, C. Luke, or D. Leroy?
Leopold.
Leopold is wrong. All right, Chuck, Larry, Luke, or Leroy?
Luke.
Carla, is it Larry or Leroy?
Leroy. Are you serious?
You're right. All right, so Carla gets a point.
Yay, Carla.
All right, this is Chuck's question. Here we go. Samuel L. Jackson appeared as a real-life mafia associate in Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas. Now, did he play A, Stack Edwards, B, Morgan No-Nose Jones, C, Barry Tangiers, or D, Bobby the Fungus Brown? What do you think, Chuck?
What? A, Stack Edwards.
A, Stack Edwards is right. Way to go, Chuck. Okay. All right, are you ready, Carla?
One Chuck, one Carla, yes.
Here's your question.
Oh, gosh. It's an easy one.
They're all hard. In his early career, he worked as a stand-in for 3 years for A, Morgan Freeman, B, Bill Cosby, C, Lou Gossett Jr., or D, Billy D. Williams.
Bill Cosby.
Yay! Bill Cosby is absolutely right. Way to go, Carla.
Thank you.
All right, Arlene, here's your question. You ready?
Right.
All right. Samuel L. Jackson played a character by the name of Jules Winfield in what film? A, True Romance, B, Jungle Fever, C, Pulp Fiction, or D, The Great White Hope?
I want to say Pulp Fiction. The last one, White Hope.
The Great White Hope?
Right.
I'm sorry. All right, Chuck, what do you think?
What were the choices again?
Okay, so she said The Great White Hope, which was not right. So it's either A, True Romance, B, Jungle Fever, or C is Pulp Fiction.
Jungle Fever.
Not right. So it's either True Romance or Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction is right, Carla. Wow.
It's my lucky day. Sorry,
oh, my
guys.
Gosh. All right, so that was Chuck's question, right? No, that was Arlene's question.
That was Arlene's question.
All right, ready, Chuck?
All right.
Here's your question. What movie did Samuel L. Jackson agree to appear in before even reading the script?
Mm-hmm.
Was it A, Jurassic Park, B, Pulp Fiction, C, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, or D, Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Oh, I know this one.
Wow, that's Chuck's question.
Come on, Chuck.
Star Wars?
Star
yes!
Wars is absolutely right.
I knew that
Chuck.
One. Why don't you ask me those?
Well, you're doing pretty good. Right,
I know,
now,
right?
The score is Arlene with 0.
Come on, Arlene.
Chuck with 2 and Carla with 3. All right, Carla, here's your question.
Okay.
Samuel L. Jackson reprised his role of Jedi Master Mace Windu in Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, and suggested his lightsaber be which color? Lightsaber be which color? Was it orange, blue, red, or purple?
Purple. He always
purple.
Has something purple, right? It's
wow.
Like a trademark of his. I was right.
I am really, really impressed.
Aren't you glad you had me as the
way to go.
Guest today?
Yes, I do. All right, so now we're going back to Arlene. Arlene, are you ready for your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on, Arlene.
Samuel,
you can do it.
I know.
You can do this.
It's girl power. I'm sending you some, like, good...
She's sending you signals.
Good energy.
Samuel okay. L. Jackson has said his decision to star in Snakes on a Plane was solely based on A, the money, B, getting to work with Juliana Margulies, C, the title of the film, D, he wanted to get over his fear of snakes. Which one do you think?
Oh, I'd say with, what's Angelina Jolie or whatever.
Oh, it wanted to yeah. work with Juliana Margulies?
Oh, that's okay. That's the one, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
So, Carla, it's either he wanted to do the movie for the money, for the title of the film, or he wanted to get over his fear of snakes.
Snakes?
No, I'm sorry.
The money.
Oh, Chuck, I skipped over you. I'm so sorry. Which one is it, Chuck? Do you know?
I'm going for the money.
No, I'm sorry.
What?
You all missed this question. The answer is he agreed to star in this movie solely based on the title of the film.
What?
I know. Crazy, right? All right, so that was, let's see, whose question was that? I started with Arlene. This is Chuck, your question. You ready, Chuck?
Okay.
Samuel L. Jackson plays Nick Fury in a series of films for what company? Is it A, Disney, B, DC, C, Walden Media, or D, Marvel?
Marvel.
Marvel is absolutely right, Chuck. Way to go.
Good job, Chuck.
All right, so this is the last question. Are you ready, folks?
Okay.
The last question. This is going.
Green get.
This is Carla.
Oh, boy.
All right. Samuel L. Jackson insists on a clause in his film contracts that allows him to A, play golf, B, have 2 evenings off per week to be with his family, C, sleep in until at least 10 a.m., which is what you, I think you like to do because you said you like to sleep in, or D, have his own driver.
No, it's the golf thing.
Golf,
the golf
thing is absolutely... Oh, wait, sorry, wait, it's
oh, wait,
right.
No,
sorry,
wait.
Hit the wrong...
What?
So, I got to tell you, Carla, you did pretty darn good. You have 5, and Chuck has 3, and Arlene, she didn't get on the board, but you know what? Arlene and Chuck,
everybody's
you're both getting fantastic prizes. You didn't beat the co-host this evening, but you know what? We're going to send you fabulous prizes. Thanks for playing the game, Arlene and Chuck.
Hello, she knows her.
Thank you, too. Thank you. Good luck to you guys.
Thank you. Chuck wants to know if you're related to Samuel L. Jackson.
I sure am.
Thanks for playing the game. When we come back, we're going to tune into Tales of the Texas Rangers. Stay with us.
And now back to Hollywood 360 with Carl Amari, brought to you by Reader's Digest.
That's the great Adam West there, Carla. You used to watch Batman, right, when you were a little teeny-weeny, like
teeny-weeny?
5 years ago when you were a teeny-weeny girl?
Whatever.
Carla is, tell you what, folks, if you want to see what Carla looks like, just go to her website. She's just beautiful, beautiful woman.
Thank you,
the website is the Nudo Team, right?
www.thenudoteam,
NUDOteam.com. She is a residential broker in the Chicagoland area. If you're looking for a house, she is the woman to sell you a house or sell your house. Either one, right?
That's correct.
All right.
Can't wait for you to call me, Carl.
Called, I will. Caldwell Banker, right, is sort of the underlying company, right? But it's the Nudo team, N-U-D-O team.
We're a company within a company.
Carla Mina, she is the gal for you. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, she's awesome. All right, so Carla,
yes.
It's time for Tales of the Texas Rangers. This is called Christmas Payoff, December 23rd, 1953, starring Joel McRae. Here's part one.
Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. And 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Christmas Payoff.
It is 4 p.m. on the afternoon of December 25th, 1940, in the small West Texas town of Rockfield. In his office, Dr. Edward Hartley and his nurse are just clearing up after treating an emergency case, which has taken the doctor away from his family on this Christmas day.
Doctor, before I leave, would you like me to stay?
Alice, I would just like you to scoot on home where you should have been hours ago.
And what about you? I think it's a shame. The one day in the year family should be together and you have an emergency.
Well, anyway, old Mrs. Thompson will feel a lot better now for the holidays. Pretty nasty infection.
Mm-hmm.
This doctoring's the one business can't be run by a time clock.
And nursing's a part of doctoring, so I leave when you do.
Trapped. Sure would have loved to spend the whole day with the youngsters, though.
Well, they probably won't even let you back in the house.
Well, Christmas got them so excited, I don't think they even know I'm gone. Oh, by the way, you sure you won't have supper with us?
I'd love to, Doctor, but... Oh, no.
Huh? What's the matter?
Doctor, you come over the window for a minute?
Not another patient.
I think so. Uh-huh.
Well, guess the Christmas tree can wait a little longer. Who is it?
I don't know. Yeah, look. That man just getting out of the car.
I don't recognize him. That arm must be in pretty bad shape. Bandage clear to the elbow.
And why didn't he come in 2 hours ago?
Huh? What do you mean?
That man was sitting in that car 2 hours ago. Only he was parked in front of the house next door. I wonder...
Come away from there.
What, Doctor, what...
I don't want him to see you. Go on. What else?
Well, just an hour later, when I took Mrs. Thompson out to her car, he was still there.
And he meant it. You really meant it.
Doctor, what is it?
Alice, now listen to me. Don't ask any questions. I want you to get in the supply closet and stay there.
What?
Whatever you do, don't make a sound. No matter what happens out here, don't give yourself away. You understand me? Your life depends on it.
What is it? Why don't we call the sheriff?
I'm going to. Now hurry. Hurry into the closet. And remember, not a sound. I should have known it would come. I didn't know when. Oh, come on, come on. Operator, this is Doc Hartley. Listen carefully. I have to speak quietly. Get the sheriff to my office as quick as you can, and don't call back. Just get him out here. Can't stall any longer. Come in. Just a minute. Here goes. Yes?
You're Doc Hartley?
That's right.
Well, can I come in?
Oh, of course. Come in. No, that's the supply closet. My dispensary is this way. Now, if you'll just get up on the table. Would you like to lie down? More comfortable for that arm.
I'll sit.
That's a lot of bandaging. What did you do to that hand?
I think maybe I sprained it. You're the doc. Suppose you tell me.
Huh.
Always work this slow, Doc?
I'm sorry.
Where's your nurse?
She's gone home long time ago. Not even supposed to be working today. This is Christmas, you know?
Yeah, I know. Why don't you pull the last of the bandage off, Doc? Don't you want to see my hand?
I know what's in it.
Then I'll do it myself. There. See? There's your Christmas present, Doc, in my fist. Nice 38. Don't you want it, Doc?
Why are you doing this? Why?
Maybe I shouldn't give it to you. You guessed what it was. Spoiled my surprise. Ah, you look like a nice guy. I'll give it to you anyway. Look at me, Doc. You know what it's for. Merry Christmas, Doc.
Sheriff Lon McGill, on arriving at the scene of the crime, found Dr. Hartley dead and Nurse Alice Leonard in a state of physical collapse. He immediately asked for the help of the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned, joining the sheriff at the doctor's office a short while later.
Photographer will be out of your way in a minute, Jace. The nurse I told you about is in the other room. Maybe you want to talk to her first.
Yeah, thanks, Sheriff. She's still as bad off as she was.
Oh, she's some better now. It's a rough thing for a woman to have to go through.
Yeah, plenty rough.
In here, Jace. Alice, this is Ranger Pearson. It's Alice Leonard, Jace. Been Doc Hartley's nurse for 6 years.
Howdy, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I just can't seem to get a hold of myself. It was so horrible.
I know how you must feel, ma'am, but you'll be helping a lot by answering a few questions.
I've tried.
Fine. Sheriff here has given me what you told him, so I won't put you through that again. Just want to clear up a few things. You know of anyone who might have wanted Doc dead?
Oh, what sort of person would want that? Doctor was a wonderful man. Never had an enemy in his life. Sheriff, he'll tell you that.
That's right, Jace. Doc was a real popular man in this town. I never heard a word against him.
Friend didn't put him where he is now, Sheriff. Ma'am, you say you saw the killer's face?
Yes, through the keyhole.
You think you'd recognize him if you saw him again?
Yes, I'm sure I would.
Good. Now, from their conversation, would you say the doctor knew this man?
No.
Yet when he saw him through the window, he made you hide in the closet.
Yes, that's right.
He say anything at all about the man?
No. Wait, I remember now. He said something about... He meant it.
He meant it?
Yes.
What is it, ma'am?
I just remembered something, a note.
What note, Alice?
Well, a few weeks ago, the doctor got a letter. I opened it because I take care of his mail.
Go on.
Inside was just a piece of paper with words cut out from newspapers pasted to it. It said the payoff is soon.
What did the doctor say when he saw it?
Well, he just laughed, said it was some sort of joke. But I caught him sitting and staring at it a few times after that.
You know where that letter is?
Well, I think it's in his desk.
Miss Leonard, you remember anything about the car this man drove?
No, just that it was black, a sedan. Oh, and the front fender had a big dent in it. I remember I could see it from the office window.
I think that'll do for now, ma'am. You go home and try and get some rest.
Tell the deputy I said to drive you home, Alice.
I will. I hope you find the man that did it. I hope you find him.
Wow, another door closing sound effect that we're breaking on here. This is Tales of the Texas Rangers. This is called The Christmas Payoff from December 23rd, 1951. Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson, and this is heard on NBC. And we'll get back to Tales of the Texas Rangers in just a few minutes. Carla, you did so well on the Samuel L. Jackson Beat the Host.
That
really
was exciting.
Very impressed.
Thank you. I was impressed, too. I'm glad you picked
you
those
know
questions.
Your stuff, I tell you what.
I did some research during my open houses today. I was like, oh, let me read this.
Sorry, do you do this much research, and are you this good at selling houses?
Definitely, of
so
course.
Then,
I'm a market expert, Carl.
I bet you are. The Nudo Team, N-U-D-O Team. TheNudoTeam.com is their website. Check it out. Is there pictures of there so they can see who
yes,
they would be
Carl,
hiring?
For
oh my
sure.
gosh! You guys,
you
guys and
for
girls,
my smarts, not for
I
my
know
image.
It doesn't hurt to be a beautiful person,
oh,
though.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
you. Know,
you.
It doesn't hurt.
You're very kind.
So another, this is another Samuel L. Jackson clip. Here we go. Right, take a listen.
I'm here to help. If my help's not appreciated, lots of luck, gentlemen.
No, Mr. Wolf, it ain't like that. Your help is definitely appreciated.
Mr. Wolf. Listen, I don't mean disrespect, okay? I respect you. I just don't like people barking orders at me, that's all.
All right, if you know this movie, 1994 crime drama thriller, Give us a call, toll-free, 855-360-H360. The H is a 4. If you call that number, you get through, you will win some fabulous prizes. My crabby brother Vince is less crabby around the holidays, so you might get some really good stuff. Here's that clip again.
I'm here to help. If my help's not appreciated, lots of luck, gentlemen.
No, Mr. Wolf, it ain't like that. Your help is definitely appreciated.
Mr. Wolf, listen, I don't mean disrespect, okay? I respect you. I just don't like people barking orders at me, that's all.
No, I'm not going to... We're not going to say... we're not going to say what movie.
Okay. No, I don't know.
You don't know the movie? Okay. Well, we stumped you finally? You don't know that movie? Very famous movie that Samuel L. Jackson is in. Give us a call right now. Toll-free. Phone lines are open. 855-360-H360.
I think I got it.
She figured it out. Call us now. Win some fabulous prizes. Toll-free. 855-360-H360. Carla, Mina, and I will be right back.
Now back to the best in classic radio on Hollywood 360. Brought to you by Reader's Digest.
Thank you, Adam West. Carla, before the break, we played this movie clip.
I'm here to help. If my help's not appreciated, lots of luck, gentlemen.
No, Mr. Wolf, it ain't like that. Your help is definitely appreciated.
Mr. Wolf, listen. I don't mean disrespect, okay? I respect you. I just don't like people barking orders at me, that's all.
Now, Carlo, without saying the name of the movie, you like this movie, right?
I love this movie.
It's a great movie, right?
It's a great movie. You can watch it over and over.
You can. All right. So, and you said you didn't mind profanity in a movie, and there's a lot of profanity in this movie.
That's a lot about me, right?
All right. So, let's go out to Cedar Lake, Indiana, and talk with Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, guys. I am awesome.
I'll bet you are. What are you doing? What'd you have for dinner?
What did I have for dinner?
Yeah.
Hooters.
That's
Mark,
why you're doing
my
awesome.
Kind of guy. That's why you know this movie.
He went to Hooters for dinner. Mark, you and I need to hang out, buddy.
You're a naughty boy, Mark.
Indeed.
Yeah, indeed. Hey. I like this guy. All right. So
I eat there for the personality.
Of course you do. You like the food.
The chicken wings are awesome.
They're not bad, right?
Yeah.
So, Mark, what movie is this, my friend?
Pulp Fiction,
absolutely right.
Yay.
My brother is going to send you some fun stuff. Does that sound good?
That is totally awesome, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Pleasure. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, okay? Mark knew it, Carla.
He did.
He knew it. He sounded like a fun guy and a very smart guy.
You guys are going to hang out, apparently.
Yeah, we are. directed by Quentin Tarantino, this crime drama thriller, 1994 it came out. You were what, 3? And John Travolta stars in this, Uma Thurman, Samuel L. Jackson.
Amazing cast.
Yep. The shot of Vincent plunging the syringe into Mia's chest was filmed by having John Travolta pull the needle out, then running the film backwards. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't know that either.
Pretty interesting.
Until I just looked that up. All right, let's get back now to Tales of the Texas Rangers.
Poor woman. She was mighty fond of the doc, Jace. Must have spent some bad minutes in that closet.
Yeah, the doc had a couple of bad minutes, too, Sheriff. The photographer must be finished in there by now. Let's take a look.
Nothing's been touched in there, Jace. Everything's just the way we found it. Thought you'd want it that way.
Thanks, Sheriff. Let's have a look at the doc.
I'll just whip the sheet off him here.
Shot at close range, all right. Powder burns. The angle of the shot seemed to bear out the nurse's story. Ballistics will fill us in later. Let's have a look at this desk.
Okay, Jace. Well, there's not much on this side, Jace. What's the matter?
Drawer full of Christmas candies. That'll be a nice Christmas for those poor kids.
Hey, wait a minute, Jace. I think this is what you want.
And that's it. The payoff is soon. No envelope with it?
I reckon Doc threw that away.
It'd be a tough one to trace. Cheap paper, the message in newspaper captions. It's used a lot for blackmail because it's so hard to run down.
Well, where to now, Jace?
Has the Doc's wife been told about this yet?
No. Been holding off. I sure don't relish it, none. Those kids and all.
Let's tell her together then, Sheriff. It's a little easier that way.
Thanks, Jace. Anything more we can do here?
No, but before we go, I want to check on that black sedan with a smashed front fender.
See if it's on the stolen car list.
Sure thing.
If you can spare a couple of deputies, Sheriff, I'd like them to do a house-to-house on this street. Maybe somebody else got a look at that car or the killer.
It's a good idea, Jace. There's not much to go on, is there?
There's enough. They always leave enough. This is one killer I want, Sheriff. I want him bad. Smash front fender was on the stolen car list. We finished our calls and left. 15 minutes later, we stood in front of a large, neat house on a well-kept street. Staring at the front door, Doc Hartley would never open again. Through the parlor window, we could see three laughing kids and proud grandparents around a Christmas tree. It was a rough doorbell to ring.
Sorry, I was expecting my husband. Oh, Sheriff McNeil.
Howdy, Ms. Hartley. Can we come in?
Oh, why, of course, please do. I imagine you want to see Ed. I'm sorry, he had an emergency, but if you like,
Mrs.
I can...
Mrs. Hartley, this is Ranger Pearson.
Howdy, ma'am.
Hello, Ranger. Pleased to meet you.
Ma'am, can we speak to you privately? I mean, in another room, away from them.
Of course. Come in here. Well, what is it?
Ma'am, it's best to say it quickly. Your husband, he's been killed.
Oh, no.
Here, you better sit down, Miss Hartley.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
How did it happen?
He was shot, ma'am, by a man who came in asking for treatment. I want to find that man, Mrs. Hartley. I know how you feel at a time like this, but if you could answer a few questions, it'd help.
I'll try.
Has anyone threatened your husband that you know of? Did he seem worried lately?
No.
Did anyone call him today beside the woman he went to treat?
Just a man.
What man?
A little past noon, the phone rang. Some man asked for my husband. I told him he was at the office on an emergency, and he just hung up.
You recognize the voice, Mrs. Hartley?
No.
Just one more question, ma'am. Do you know of anyone who had a grudge against the doctor who'd have wanted this to happen?
No. Nobody. Nobody except...
Except who?
Well, I was thinking of that man, the one he sent to prison.
Sent to prison, ma'am?
I think I can explain that, Jace. You mean that Nixon thing, Miss Hartley?
Yes.
Well, it happened a couple of years back, Jace. A fellow named Al Nixon robbed the payroll of a gas cracking plant about 40 miles from here. Shot during the getaway, though. Came through here and forced Doc Hartley to treat him at gunpoint.
You know what kind of stretch they gave him, Sheriff?
No, I don't remember. You see, that was before I was sheriff. I was living at the other end of the county then. Well, anyway, seems Doc somehow sneaked a phone call while he was treating Nixon, and the police got him. Isn't that right, Miss Hartley?
Yes. They sent him to Huntsville.
Mrs. Hartley, I'm sorry to put you through this. We're going to leave now. Is there anything we can do for you?
Nothing. There's nothing anyone can do. How will I tell the children?
Call from KTXA ought to be in any minute now, Sheriff.
I still don't see why you ask him for that rundown on Nixon, Jace. You thinking maybe he's out?
I don't know, Sheriff, but I sure want to find out. Nixon's got a real good motive for this killing.
Well, I got to go with you on that.
KTXA, Unit 10.
That's it.
KTXA, Unit 10.
Unit 10 to KTXA. Go ahead.
Have information you requested. Al Nixon sentenced life term Huntsville Penitentiary December 1937. Money from gas cracking plant payroll never recovered.
10-4, Unit 10 clear.
KTXA, Austin.
Well, that kind of kills that, don't it, Jace?
Man with the best motive of all is serving life at Huntsville.
And still too good to pass by, Sheriff.
What do you mean?
Look, Nixon may be in Huntsville for life, but that doesn't change his motive. It's still good. So good I want to see him. I'm going to Huntsville in the morning. Next morning, I left Nurse Alice Leonard with the sheriff to begin the long job of trying to pick a killer's picture out of the gallery. Then I headed for Huntsville. I wasn't in the visiting room 5 minutes when Nixon was brought in. A brutal-looking little man who shuffled forward and sat across the table from me, waiting for me to talk. My name's Pearson, Nixon. Ranger Pearson.
What do you want, a medal for remembering your name?
I want some answers.
And if I don't give them to you, you'll have me arrested, huh?
You remember Dr. Hartley, Nixon?
Yeah, I remember him. Look around. Ain't this good reason to remember him?
He didn't put you here. You put yourself here.
Hartley put me here. Oh, but don't you worry ahead about me, Ranger. I'll make out. Yeah. You worry about Hartley.
Hartley's dead, Nixon.
You mean that?
He's dead. Shot to death. Something funny, Nixon?
Sure. Don't you get it? He put me in here, now he's dead, but I'm still alive. Ooh, you cops, you're all so smart, ain't you? Sure, you got me, but you never got the money. And best of all, Hartley is dead.
You're in the right place, Nixon.
So that's why you're here, huh? Maybe I killed him, huh? Sure. I'll confess. I just walked through the walls, knocked them off, and flew back like a bird.
Yeah. Phone call for you, Ranger. You can take it in the office.
All right, guy. Thanks.
Is Rose Nixon?
Yeah, you can have him.
This way.
Hey, Ranger, arrest me. I killed him.
In there, Ranger.
Thanks. Hello?
Sheriff McGill, Jace. How are you making out?
Cold trail, Sheriff. Nixon's no help. How'd you come out?
Nurse picked out a picture, Jace. Swears it's him. Fella named Lou Crowder.
You run a make on him?
I sure did. He did the last 2 years in Huntsville. Released a week ago.
Beginning to fit, Sheriff. Any more on that car?
I was just coming to that. They found it about 100 miles from here. Abandoned in some brush just outside of Crest City.
I want to see that car, Sheriff. Tell them to hold it where it is. As soon as I talk to the warden, I'm heading for Crest City. Want to meet me there?
Sure thing, Jace. Meet you at the hotel.
Never can tell what's coming, Sheriff. That cold trail's all warmed up again. I had my talk with the warden and then met the sheriff in Crest City. As we headed for the spot where the abandoned car had been found, I kept thinking of Doc's wife and her 3 small kids. I was getting closer to a killer, and I liked it.
No, I don't know, Jason. No matter how I figure it, there's always a couple of loose ends.
Well, then try this, Sheriff. Al Nixon is doing life for a payroll robbery, and he's convinced it's Doc Hartley's fault. Now, that payroll was never found because Nixon hid it someplace before they got him.
Yeah, I follow that far, Jason.
In Huntsville with Nixon was Lou Crowder. Now, Nixon knew he wasn't ever going to get to use that money, so suppose he made a deal with Crowder. Crowder could have it if he killed Doc Hartley.
But what was to stop Crowder from just digging up the money and not killing the Doc?
No, Nixon's too smart for that, Sheriff. Probably set it up so he'd let Crowder know where the money is after he was sure of Doc's death.
Yeah. It figures all right. But how would he let Crowder know?
By letter, Sheriff. The warden told me Nixon's already written Crowder 3 times.
What good would that do? All mail coming out of Huntsville is censored, Jace.
I know, but the 2 men had plenty of time to rig a code when they were together in the pen.
Then a letter could be the answer.
That's right. Hey, the highway patrol car up ahead must be where the car is.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it.
Howdy.
Howdy, fellas. There's a car, Jace, just behind this brush. Jace, even if your figuring's right, what do you reckon this car is going to tell us?
Just one thing, Sheriff. That's it.
I don't get it, Jace.
You will. Look, would Crowder want to hang around a town he'd killed a man in?
No,
Reckon not. But if he's expecting a letter from Nixon, he's got a light someplace to get it.
What are you driving at?
Put this together. This car's still in running order. Crowder didn't have to leave it. That makes Crest City a pretty good bet for the place the letter's going to be picked up.
But what if Crowder's already picked the letter up?
It's not likely. Nixon didn't even know about the killing till I told him today. And he'd want to be sure before he paid off.
What if Nixon double-crosses Crowder? Suppose he don't send the letter telling where the money is.
He'll send it, Sheriff. I got a good look at Nixon's face when I told him Doc was dead. He'll send it. Back in Crest City, the postmaster agreed to notify us the minute he got any letter postmarked Huntsville, without giving it out. The very next day, the letter was there. A man had come in for it, but was told it hadn't arrived. The postmaster noticed the man was driving a car with a horse trailer attached. I got my horse trailer, and we set the trap in the post office the next morning.
That's Crowder, all right, Jason. He got the letter. Shall we take him?
No. Hold it, Sheriff.
What's the matter?
I don't want to take a chance. He's probably armed. Some of these people may get hurt.
Well, what are you going to do?
Give him a lead and tail him. All right, let's move up the front door and see where he goes.
I have been expecting
a catalog if you want. He just got in that car, Jason.
Yeah.
The one with the trailer.
He's pulling out. Come on.
You reckon he'll head straight for that money?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's not pulling that horse trailer for nothing.
He must be heading someplace. He can't use a car.
Yeah, it's all right with me. We'll get him, Sheriff. Wherever he goes, we'll get him. For almost 3 hours, we trailed Crowder by car, never getting too near him, just pinpointing him. When the country got rough, he left his car and switched to the horse he'd been pulling. So did we. We gave him a bigger lead and just followed his tracks.
Awful rough climb, Jace. You sure we're following him? I don't see any tracks.
We're following him all right, Sheriff. Didn't you just see that turned rock, moist on one side? A hoof did that.
Beats me how you spot him.
Hold it, Sheriff.
Oh, oh, oh.
It's a drop-off just ahead. I want to look.
See anything, Jay?
Shh. Hold it. He's just over the drop, about 20 feet.
Is he digging, Jace?
Better than that, Sheriff. He's found it already. Now look, Sheriff. He's in a dead-end canyon. I'm going down after him. You cut along this ridge and close in from the base.
All right, Jace, but be careful. Come on, boy.
Crowder! Get your hands up.
You'll never take me, copper!
That's a warning, Crowder. Next one will be through your head. Now throw your gun away.
All right. Don't shoot. You see, my hands are up.
Keep them there.
Look, Ranger. There's $30,000 here. I'll make a deal with you. Take half the money. Just give me a chance.
Like the chance you gave Doc?
You're not going to get that money.
No, you don't. Give me that knife.
You all right, Jay?
Yeah. I'm all right, Sheriff.
You were taking an awful chance that way, Jace. Oh.
I know it, Sheriff.
I had a bad minute there when I saw his knife glint in the sun. Thought you'd have to gun him for sure.
I didn't want it that way. I had to take Crowder alive, Sheriff. He's my Christmas present to the warden at Huntsville.
February 3rd, 1941, Al Nixon was removed from Huntsville Penitentiary to stand trial along with Lou Crowder for the premeditated murder of Dr. Hartley. Both men were found guilty. The sentence, death in the electric chair.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers.
There is the Tales of the Texas Rangers. These were true crime stories, Carla.
They
were
so cool.
Actual true crime cases. And Stacy Keach, you've heard that name, the actor Stacy Keach, you know, that played Mike Hammer on television. Well, his dad, Stacy Keach Sr., was the producer of the show. And, yeah, and he got all these true crime cases and turned them into a radio drama. And this was the Christmas payoff. It was their Christmas show from December 23rd, 1951 on Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring the great Joel McRae.
I could do this all day. Just keep listening.
It's fun.
To
yes. It's fun to listen to these programs. It's so great to have you pinch hitting for Lisa Wolf, who is on vacation. She's
so
in sunny
fun.
Florida. She's probably listening to the show.
Wait, Lisa, you're in Florida?
Yeah, she's in Florida.
Oh, wait, what did she invite me?
Well, aren't you having more fun
having
here?
I'm having fun here, but...
All right, very good. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on Hollywood 360.
And now back to Hollywood 360 with Carl Amari. Brought to you by Reader's Digest.
This show is brought to you by Reader's Digest. And folks, if you want to learn more about this show and all the products that we sell, we create products of classic radio and TV, and we have our schedule and all kinds of fun stuff at our website. Our official website is Hollywood360Radio.com. Hollywood360Radio.com. Check it out. We also just launched a new website at ClassicRadioClub.com. We're starting a club for classic radio fans. It's at ClassicRadioClub.com if you want to check that out as well. And our next hour, we're going to listen to the final three chapters of The Cinnamon Bear. We're also going to talk with Sarah Adamson, our national movie critic. She's going to talk about The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, and Exodus, Gods and Kings, two movies that recently released. And Carla and I will chat a little bit and play some more clips with Samuel L. Jackson and much, much more. That's in our next hour here on Hollywood 360. Stay with us.